Hello, I'm Christopher Badger.
And I'm Mark Davis.
We're barristers at Six Pump Court, and we'd like to welcome you to the latest Environment Law News Podcast, brought to you in association with LexisNexis. In this podcast, we look at Ofwat's penalty for Southern Water together with the water company's recent performance assessment, the Environment Agency's performance scorecard, and the exciting carbon neutral commitment by the UK. First, we look at Ofwat's flexing of its regulatory muscles and the recent performance assessment of the water industry.
Yes, this is the recent news that Ofwat has issued a notice of intention to impose on Southern Water a financial penalty amounting to £37.7 million, reduced exceptionally to £3 million for what are described as significant breaches of its licence conditions and its statutory duties.
But that isn't all, is it? Southern Water has also undertaken to pay its customers about £123 million over the next 5 years in the form of rebates, equating to a return of about £61 per household.
Quite right. And the failings outlined by Ofwat are pretty damning, including a finding that Southern Water had deliberately misreported data to them about the performance of its wastewater treatment works.
And that Southern Water failed to have adequate systems of planning, governance and internal controls in place to be able to manage its wastewater treatment works.
And that Southern Water had failed to accurately report information about the performance of the treatment works and generally to properly carry out its general statutory duties as a sewerage undertaker.
I mean, that rather sounds like they weren't doing anything that they were supposed to do right.
That's certainly the impression the notice leaves you with. The maximum penalty that could have been imposed would have been 10% of Southern Water's wholesale wastewater business turnover for 2017 to 2018. Now, the notional fine of £37.7 million equates to 6.7% of that turnover, a significant proportion. The key to the actual financial penalty, however, is the significant reduction that has been imposed, taking the actual fine down to £3 million.
Well, that clearly relates to the size of the rebate, but it also has something to do with the fact that Southern Water extensively engaged with Ofwat, restated its performance data, and carried out its own internal investigation. It was, in fact, a review of retrieved emails and documents which showed that staff had been anticipating the timing of planned operator self-monitoring samples across numerous works, in order to ensure that no effluent was available for sampling purposes.
Oh dear.
Indeed. And the performance review of water companies for 2018 does not make for happy reading either. The headline of the most recent Environment Agency report was that performance was simply unacceptable. In short, with one exception, none of the companies are performing at the level that the environment needs. The performance of most companies has deteriorated, reversing the trend of gradual improvement since environmental performance assessment was introduced in 2011, and serious Category 1 and 2 pollution incidents have increased from 52 in 2017 to 56 in 2018.
And how did Southern Water fare in this review?
Not well. It, South West Water and Yorkshire Water all received a 2-star rating, meaning requiring improvement. The one shining example out of the 9 water and sewerage companies operating in England was Northumbrian Water, which scored 4 stars, the highest rating.
So, what does the Environment Agency propose to remedy the situation?
Well, they're establishing an Improving Water Company Performance Programme, which is intended to adjust the Environment Agency's approach to regulation and to help water companies to drive what it considers are the necessary improvements. It will also result in closer regulation and the use of enforcement and sanction outcomes for poor performing companies, potentially in conjunction with Ofwat.
Well, clearly something has to change. Our second piece concerns the performance of the Environment Agency and its continued use of civil sanctions.
Yes, towards the end of June, the Environment Agency published its corporate scorecard for the third quarter of 2018 to 2019.
I've never heard of such a thing. What does it do and how does it work?
Well, it's intended to provide readers with an at-a-glance look at the agency's performance over a number of metrics set out in the Environment Agency Action Plan. The scorecard itself is then based on a traffic light system to set out those targets which the agency is on track to hit, those which it may hit, and those that it will probably fail on.
And how is the Environment Agency doing? Is it into the proverbial super-over for any of its targets?
Sadly, it's not that close to victory. The Environment Agency is currently failing in its plan to reduce serious pollution incidents, with the numbers worsening over the last quarter, and the number of illegal waste sites remains stubbornly high. These are, however, targets which the agency frequently describes as challenging, which isn't quite the same as achievable.
Now, against this background, just yesterday Michael Gove went on record giving a speech at Kew Gardens, essentially saying that time is running out to stop damage to the planet. And on that basis, perhaps the agency should be asking for more money so that it can achieve the targets, rather than implying that targets should be easier to meet.
Particularly when other areas of regulation appear to be working well. In the last 6 months, more than £3.7 million has been given to charitable organisations for environmental offences. United Utilities paid over £1 million in just two enforcement undertakings.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the enforcement undertakings is that whilst it's always possible to see what offence the penalty relates to and whether the offer was proactive or reactive, the information published does not set out culpability or harm, and this makes it particularly difficult to advise how previous published figures can be used in formulating future offers.
Perhaps that's something for the Environment Agency to think about. Our final story concerns the important commitment made by the government that the UK will reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
Yes, and this is particularly exciting news. In much the same way as the UK led the world with the Climate Change Act 2008, in making this commitment, Theresa May will make the UK the first major economy to take this step. Now, the target has been brought into force by the snappily titled Climate Change Act 2008 2050 Target Amendment Order 2019.
Snappy indeed. What I found interesting about it has been the reaction from Philip Hammond. He's reportedly warned Theresa May against making the commitment, highlighting concerns about its cost, and the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy estimates that that cost will be in excess of £1 trillion, or £70 billion a year.
But that needs to be contrasted with the Committee on Climate Change estimates, that the actual cost of meeting the net zero target will be 1 to 2% of our GDP, so between £20 to £40 billion a year, no greater than what it would have been to get it down to 80%. And both those estimates have been criticised for failing to highlight that the figures for costs do not include any figures for benefits resulting from the change. So, for example, new jobs in new green industries, cost savings for the NHS from cleaner air, etc.
Good point.
And in fact, to paraphrase some words from someone far younger and far wiser than I am, isn't our house on fire?
You've been listening to Greta's speeches again, haven't you?
I have, but she has a point. If our time for action is as severely limited as the science indicates it is, what does it matter if it costs us more money to tackle the issue? If we don't spend it, then there won't be any house left. What do you think we can expect following the legislation of the revised target?
OK, so key themes going forward will include phasing out gas use and moving to renewable energy, if we are to continue to rely on fossil fuels, increased use of carbon capture and storage, increased electrification of the transport network, and bringing forward the target for phasing out petrol and diesel care, an alternative to the use of concrete, significant pressure on farmers, who currently produce more than 10% of greenhouse gas emissions, a move towards a low-meat diet, and stopping biodegradable food waste from going to landfill.
Well, clearly hitting this target isn't going to be easy. We're not even on track to hit the current target that we have.
No, and a full impact assessment for the proposed new target hasn't been produced yet either.
And it won't, of course, stop Extinction Rebellion from continuing protests in the UK as they've been doing in Cardiff, Glasgow, Bristol, Leeds and London over the last couple of days with their signature colourful boats.
Absolutely. It looks like climate protesting is here to stay.
Well, I for one am going to invest in a bike so I can cycle into Chambers, which I suppose proves that the protesters are getting the message across.
Thank you for tuning in to this Environment Law News podcast. For more information on any of these stories, or if you would like to discuss any of the topics raised in more detail, please contact Six Pump Court on 0207 797 8400, asking for either Christopher Badger or Mark Davies, or contact our colleagues at LexisNexis in the PSL Environment team.